Today is the 25th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it's great to be here with you today. For the next step forward in the scriptures this year. And it's a special day because we will conclude Paul's second letter to Timothy in today's reading. And as we mentioned when we began this letter, this is the final writings of the Apostle Paul's life. So we will come to the final word written by the Apostle Paul in today's reading. But first, Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 1 through 49, verse 22. This is what Yahweh, Tzebaoth, the Elohim of Israel, says about Moab. How horrible it will be for Nebo. It will be destroyed. Kiriathaim will be put to shame. It will be captured. Its stronghold will be put to shame and torn down. People will no longer praise Moab. The people in Heshbon will plan Moab's destruction. Let's destroy that nation. You will be silenced, city of madmen. Death will come after you. People will cry out from Horonaim. Looting and great destruction. Moab will be broken. Its little ones will cry out. People will go up the pass of Luith, crying bitterly as they go. On the road down to Horonaim, they have heard the distressful cry of destruction. Run away. Run for your lives. Run like a wild donkey in the desert. Since you trust the things you do and your treasures, you will be captured. Chemosh will go into captivity with all its priests and officials. The destroyer will come to every city, and no city will escape. The valley will be destroyed, and the plain will be laid waste, as Yahweh has threatened. Put salt on Moab. It will be destroyed. Its cities will become deserted ruins. Cursed are those who neglect doing Yahweh's work. Cursed are those who keep their swords from killing. Moab has lived securely ever since it was young. Its people are like wine left to settle in a jar. They aren't poured from one jar to another. They haven't gone into captivity. That is why its flavor has remained the same, and its aroma hasn't changed. That is why the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will send people to pour Moab out of its jars and to smash its pitchers. Then Moab will be ashamed of Chemosh, as the nation of Israel was ashamed when it trusted Bethel. How can you say, we are soldiers and warriors? The enemy will attack Moab and destroy its cities. Its finest young men will be slaughtered, declares the Melech, whose name is Yahweh Tzebaoth. Moab's destruction is coming near. Disaster is coming quickly. Mourn over it, all of its neighbors and everyone who knows its fame. Say, look at the strong staff, the beautiful rod that is broken. People of Dibon, come down from your place of honor and sit on the dry ground. The destroyers of Moab will attack you. They will destroy your fortresses. Stand by the road in Arior and watch. Ask those who are fleeing and those who are escaping what is happening. They will answer, Moab is disgraced. It is defeated. Shout loudly and cry. Tell the news in Arnon that Moab is destroyed. Judgment has come to all the cities on the plain, to Holon, Jaza, Mephaeth, Dibon, Nebo, Beth Debleathim, Kiriathaim, Beth Gamul, Beth Meon, Kirioth, Bozrah, and on all the cities of Moab far and near. Moab's horn is cut off, and its arm is broken, declares Yahweh. Get the people of Moab drunk. They have spoken against Yahweh. They will wallow in their own vomit, and people will laugh at them. People of Moab, didn't you laugh at the people of Israel? Were they caught among thieves? Whenever you talk about them, you shake your heads in contempt. People of Moab, abandon your cities. Live among the cliffs. Be like doves that make their nests at the entrance of a cave. We have heard about the arrogance of Moab's people. They are very arrogant. They are very arrogant, conceited, and boastful. I know how arrogant they are, declares Yahweh. But it isn't right. They brag and don't do what they say. That is why I will weep for Moab and cry for all of Moab. I will moan for the people of Kir Hareseth. I will cry for you as Jazer cries. I will cry for you, grape vines of Sibma. Your branches once spread as far as the sea, and they reached as far as the Sea of Jazer. The destroyer will destroy your ripened fruits and your grapes. Joy and gladness have disappeared from the orchards and fields of Moab. I will stop the wine flowing from the wine presses. No one will stomp on grapes with shouts of joy. There will be shouts, but not shouts of joy. The cry will be heard from Heshbon to Elealeh and Jahaz. It will be heard from Zoar to Horonaim and Iglath Shalishah. Even the streams of Nimrim will dry up. I will stop those in Moab who come to worship sites, those who bring offerings to their gods, declares Yahweh. That is why I moan for Moab like a flute. I sound like a flute for the people of Kir Hareseth. The wealth they gained has disappeared. Every head is shaved, and every beard is cut off. There are gashes on every hand and sackcloth on every waist. People in Moab will mourn on every rooftop and in every street. There will be mourning everywhere, because I will break Moab like a jar that no one wants, declares Yahweh. They will cry, "Look how Moab is defeated." Moab turns away in shame. Moab has become something ridiculed and something held in contempt by everyone around it. This is what Yahweh says. The enemy will swoop down like eagles and spread their wings over Moab. The cities will be taken, and the fortified places will be captured. On that day, Moab's soldiers will be like women in childbirth. Moab will be destroyed as a nation, because it spoke against Yahweh. Disasters, pits, and traps are in store for those who live in Moab, declares Yahweh. Whoever flees from a disaster will fall into a pit. Whoever climbs out of the pit will be caught in a trap. I will bring a year of punishment to Moab, declares Yahweh. Those who flee will stand exhausted in the shadow of Heshbon. A fire will come out of Heshbon and a flame from Sion. It will burn the foreheads of the people of Moab and the skulls of those noisy people. How horrible it will be for you, Moab. You people of Chemosh will die. Your sons will be taken away into exile, and your daughters will be taken away into captivity. But I will restore Moab in the last days, declares Yahweh. The judgment against Moab ends here. This is what Yahweh says about the people of Ammon. Doesn't Israel have any children? Doesn't it have any heirs? Why then has the god Milcom taken over the inheritance of Gad's descendants? Why do Milcom's people live in Gad's cities? That is why the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will sound the battle cry against Rabbah, where the people of Ammon live. It will become a pile of rubble. Its villages will be burned down. Then Israel will take possession of its inheritance, says Yahweh. Cry loudly, Heshbon, because Ai is destroyed. Cry, people of Rabbah, put on your sackcloth and mourn. Run back and forth between the walls. Milcom will be taken away into captivity with its priests and officials. Why do you brag about your valleys, your fertile valleys, you unfaithful people? You trust your treasures. You think, who would attack me? I am going to bring terror on you from all around, declares Adonai Yahweh Tzabaoth. Everyone will be scattered. No one will gather the refugees. But afterward I will return the captives of Ammon, declares Yahweh. This is what Yahweh Tzabaoth says about Edom. Is there no longer any wisdom in Teman? Has wisdom disappeared from your people? Has their wisdom vanished? Turn and run. Hide in deep caves, inhabitants of Dedan. When I punish them, I will bring disaster on the descendants of Esau. If people come to pick your grapes, won't they leave a few grapes behind? If thieves come during the night, won't they steal only until they've had enough? Yet, I will strip the descendants of Esau. I will find their hiding places. They won't be able to hide. Their children and relatives will be destroyed. None of their neighbors will say, "Abandon your orphans and I will keep them alive. Your widows can trust me." This is what Yahweh says. If those who don't deserve to drink from the cup still drink from it, why should you go unpunished? You won't go unpunished. You must drink from it. I take an oath on myself, declares Yahweh, that Bozrah will become a pile of rubble. It will become something horrifying, ridiculed, ruined, and cursed. All its cities will lie in ruins permanently. I heard a message from Yahweh. A messenger was sent among the nations to say, "Assemble and attack Edom. Get ready for battle. Edom, I will make you the smallest of nations and despised among humanity. You have frightened other people. Your arrogance has deceived you. You live on rocky cliffs and occupy the highest places in the hills. Even though you build your nest as high as an eagle, I will bring you down from there," declares Yahweh. "Then Edom will become something horrible. Everyone who passes by it will be horrified and hiss at all its wounds. Edom will be like Sodom, Gomorrah, and their neighboring cities when they were destroyed. No one will live there. No human will stay there," says Yahweh. "I will suddenly chase them from their places, like a lion coming out of the jungle along the Jordan River into pasture land. I will appoint over Edom whomever I choose. Who is like me? Who can challenge me? Is there any leader who can stand up to me?" Listen to the plans that Yahweh is making against Edom and the things he intends to do to those who live in Teman. He will surely drag away the little ones of the flock. He will surely destroy the pasture because of the people who live in Teman. The earth will quake at the sound of their downfall. The sound of their crying will be heard at the Red Sea. The enemy will swoop down like eagles and spread their wings over Bozrah. On that day, Edom's soldiers will be like women in childbirth. Second Timothy 4. I solemnly call on you, in the presence of God and Christ Yeshua, who is going to judge those who are living and those who are dead. I do this because Christ, Yeshua, will come to rule the world. Be ready to spread the word, whether or not the time is right. Point out errors, warn people, and encourage them. Be very patient when you teach. A time will come when people will not listen to accurate teachings. Instead, they will follow their own desires and surround themselves with teachers who tell them what they want to hear. People will refuse to listen to the truth and turn to myths. But you must keep a clear head in everything. Endure suffering. Do the work of a missionary. Devote yourself completely to your work. My life is coming to an end, and it is now time for me to be poured out as a sacrifice to God. I have fought the good fight. I have completed the race. I have kept the faith. The prize that shows I have God's approval is now waiting for me. The Lord, who is a fair judge, will give me that prize on that day. He will give it not only to me, but also to everyone who is eagerly waiting for him to come again. Hurry to visit me soon. Demas has abandoned me. He fell in love with this present world and went to the city of Thessalonica. Crescens went to the province of Galatia, and Titus went to the province of Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. He is useful to me in my work. I'm sending Tychicus to the city of Ephesus as my representative. When you come, bring the warm coat I left with Carpus in the city of Troas. Also bring the scrolls and especially the parchments. Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will pay him back for what he did. Watch out for him. He violently opposed what we said. At my first hearing, no one stood up in my defense. Everyone abandoned me. I pray that it won't be held against them. However, the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that I could finish spreading the good news for all the nations to hear. I was snatched out of a lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from all harm and will take me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Glory belongs to him forever. Amen. Give my greetings to Prisca and Aquila and the family of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in the city of Corinth, and I left Trophimus in the city of Miletus because he was sick. Hurry to visit me before winter comes. Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters send you greetings. The Lord be with you. His good will be with all of you. Psalm 95 and 96. Come, let's sing joyfully to Yahweh. Let's shout happily to the rock of our salvation. Let's come into his presence with a song of thanksgiving. Let's shout happily to him with psalms. Yahweh is a great El and a great Melech above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the mountain peaks are his. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel in front of Yahweh, our Maker, because he is our Elohim, and we are the people in his care, the flock that he leads. If only you would listen to him today. Do not be stubborn like my people were at Meribah, like the time at Massa in the desert. Your ancestors challenged me and tested me there, although they had seen what I had done. For 40 years I was disgusted with those people. So I said, they are a people whose hearts continue to stray. They have not learned my ways. That is why I angrily took this solemn oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing to Yahweh. Praise his name. Day after day announce that Yahweh saves his people. Tell people about his glory. Tell all the nations about his miracles. Yahweh is great. He should be highly praised. He should be feared more than all other gods, because all the gods of the nations are idols. Yahweh made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are in his presence. Strength and beauty are in his holy place. Give to Yahweh, you families of the nations. Give to Yahweh glory and power. Give to Yahweh the glory he deserves. Bring an offering and come into his courtyards. Worship Yahweh in his holy splendor. Tremble in his presence, all the earth. Say to the nations, Yahweh rules as king. The earth stands firm. It cannot be moved. He will judge people fairly. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Let the sea and everything in it roar like thunder. Let the fields and everything in them rejoice. Then all the trees in the forest will sing joyfully in Yahweh's presence, because he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and its people with his truth. Proverbs 26, 9 through 12. Like a thorn stuck in a drunk's hand, so is a proverb in the mouths of fools. Like many people who destroy everything, so is one who hires fools or drifters. As a dog goes back to its vomit, so a fool repeats his stupidity. Have you met a person who thinks he is wise? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Okay, so we concluded Paul's second letter to Timothy, which is also the final writings of the Apostle Paul's life. And, you know, these are the final things that he has to say to Timothy. Obviously, it's full of melancholy, because Paul knows he's going to die, and he's hoping to see Timothy again. Paul is sending Tychicus to represent him at the church in Ephesus, to give Timothy the opportunity to come, if possible. And he's even asking Timothy to bring the warm coat that he left with Carpus in the city of Troas. Right, so winter's coming and he's in a dungeon and his execution is imminent. And yeah, so there's just a lot of melancholy in all of that. And it's within that that we have the famous quotation, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race. And so Paul's kind of final instructions to Timothy are, listen, things aren't always going to be good. People will abandon you. People are going to say all kinds of things and teach all kinds of things. And you need to be patient and just continue to teach the truth. Even when people, you know, even when people shop around looking for someone to tell them what they want to hear, you need to just patiently continue to teach the truth. And you're going to have to endure some suffering. It may get rocky out here. Just consider yourself a missionary and devote yourself to this work and keep your head clear. And then Paul says, my life is coming to an end, and it's now time for me to be poured out as a sacrifice to God. I have fought the good fight. I have completed the race. I have kept the faith. That verse has always flattened me ever since I really began to understand the context of this letter. When I began to understand that it had come down to abandonment, that this great apostle Paul, who we revere and who is responsible for so much of the New Testament that we read, that it all came down to a dungeon with winter coming on and pretty much everyone gone. And Paul warns Timothy, and he talks about these kinds of things in his other letters, that this is not an unopposed life, that even though the good news of the gospel is the hope of the human species and the integration of God and people can once again happen and this world could begin to flourish, most people are going to ignore this and some are going to be hostile. And Jesus warned the same thing. And so Paul's words are humbling and give us a lot to contemplate, because this is a guy that is going to be executed who's able to say, I did what I came to do. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And the way that I did that wasn't through grand spectacles. It was that I kept the faith until the very end. I want that to be true of my life, don't you? Like, at the essence, at the core, no matter what happens, I want that to be true. And it's pretty clear that Paul wanted that to be true in his life, and he wanted to transfer that conviction to Timothy so that it might be true of him, and that as this letter spread around, that it might be true of all. And so here are the final words of the Apostle Paul, and may they be spoken over us each. The Lord be with you. His good will be with all of you. And so, Father, we come into that. It is a baseline heart cry that we can fight the good fight, that we can finish the race, that we can keep the faith. And we have to also acknowledge that so many times we've measured that by how much we feel you are blessing us. Like, that has become our measure, when we see that that isn't the measure at all. When we look at the Apostle Paul, and when we look at your life, Jesus, that isn't the measure at all. This isn't a fight for how much exterior blessing we can have. It is a fight for our heart and soul. And so, as battered as we might be with the circumstances that swirl around us, we regroup and center ourselves in you once again. We stand up once again and start fighting the good fight. And we will finish this race. And we will keep this faith by the power of your Holy Spirit. And by no other power is it possible. So come, Holy Spirit, and help us to move forward as we honor those who have gone before us and finished the race. those who have finished the race by giving their lives so that we might have this treasure. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, I'm going to steal one from my buddy KSD. Hey, my amazing dad family. Saint KSD is Spark. And I wanted to call for Steph from Kentucky. Sister, you're telling me how you're having difficulties with your mom. I'm just going to be real quick. I got a minute and 30 seconds, and I can talk to a fence post. So I didn't get along with my parents until I was like 30 years old. Never got along. We fought every step of the way. I have my kids. I met my wife later, but I just fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it. And there's things about your parents that you'll never figure out. You'll never be able to decipher. But what I can tell you is when you surrender and you go, this is not so much about me, they're going to ding you. They're going to be hard on you, what they expect of you. And when you go, this is not so much about me, and you actually have an opportunity to sit down with them and speak with them, and they realize that you found God, something changes. And I want you to know that. Keep your faith in God. Something changes. And we can't point fingers, but we can look at ourselves. That's all Jesus told us to do. I love you, sister. I hope everything goes well.
Hey, guys. It's Isa the Dove. I just got off work and met my husband to go minister to my dad, Jerry. He's in a Christian home. He's the only client for elderly care, and he suffers with Alzheimer's. And his hair had gotten very, very long. I used to cut my boy's hair when they were young because we couldn't afford to take them to a barber shop. And I got fairly good at it. My husband's mom, when she went through breast cancer, I moved in with her for a few months, and I had the honor of cutting her hair before it fell out for her too. And my mom was a hairdresser growing up, and so I think I just might have a little bit of her talent somewhere in my fingertips. And somehow I was able to cut my dad's hair for the first time in my life. It was so hard for him, the clippers, and he was flailing around and yelling about the army and thinking about his leg. He had actually been in a motorcycle wreck in 1994, unrelated to military, but he associates it in his head. He was yelling about cutting, and he didn't know it was me, and it was just hard. It was hard. I cut his hair lovingly as quickly as I could. And he does look so much better. But yeah, he swinged a couple times and almost got me. Just driving home missing my dad. Wishing I could hear him say, I love you, sweetie. I miss my dad, you guys. Even though he's alive, he's not really there right now. I'm just kind of upset. I love you guys. Bye.
Hello, this is Rob from Oklahoma. I felt the need to call in for a lady, I believe her name was Marcia, from Nebraska. She was scared and she was going to have surgery, I believe, at the end of September. And they were going to, she had cancer. They were going to have to remove from her spleen and her stomach and her intestines, I believe, and one other place. But I just want her to know that we are praying for her and to encourage her and strengthen her in her. I understand how she might have the fear, and just to overcome it in Christ's name.
Hello, DAB family. This is Bob from Phoenix calling again. I'm a loyal listener every day. I listen to Brian readings as well as everybody's prayers, and I pray along with you all. I think we really are indeed a worldwide family. I've called in several times over the last week about my difficulties I've gotten myself into, asking for prayer, and I think, really, we don't really surrender ourselves until we've been brought to our knees, and I think I've been brought to our knees. You know, pride comes before destruction, and I really think that I'm a seeker. I haven't given my life over to Christ yet. I haven't surrendered, and I'm really asking for prayer so that I can fully surrender my life over to Jesus, fully have the Holy Spirit indwell within me. Every day I ask Jesus to teach me how to pray, to teach me how to love Him, to teach me to surrender. And so I'm asking the worldwide DAB community to please pray for me. Pray for me that I'll have a breakthrough, that I can hear Jesus, I can hear the Holy Spirit talking to me, and then I can fully surrender my life over to Him, because I think that's the only way I'm ever going to have peace, the peace that transcends all understanding. And so, as I pray for you all, I hope you'll pray for me. Again, this DAB family means so much to me. It's really become part of my life. So I want to bless you all. I pray with you, and I appreciate your prayers. Thank you. Bye.